10:45. Stay tuned for the Howard Miller Show. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents the Howard Miller Show. Now here with music on records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss, and once again for Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum to all this nation. We're very proud today to have in our studio a man whose story, I think, best represents these proud United States of America. The story of a young man who, from most humble parentage, came from his homeland of Romania, arrived in Philadelphia, PA back in 1921, got a job for $11 a week punching holes in leather belts, and from that humble beginning has become one of the top producers of all times in the motion picture industry. Author, raconteur, entrepreneur, and star maker, Mr. Joe Pasternak. You're going to have an opportunity of hearing Joe talk and also listening about this great new motion picture which he's produced for MGM right after we listen to Carol Jarvis with an opening number, My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own.
To leave you alone. She made me promise, but my darling, my heart has a mind of its own. My father said, we're only children. We ought to wait till we're grown. He made me promise, but my darling, my heart has a mind of its own. I'm old enough to know I love you.
That's a brand new record by new little girl singer out in Los Angeles, California. Her name is Carol Jarvis. It came out on a small label out there, and then it was picked up by the major label, Bally, and now is issued under that title, My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own, a Bally record done by Carol Jarvis. I hope you're going to enjoy Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum today. It's always a delightful treat, and whether it's between a meal or after a meal, you always know that there's pure, good, downright refreshment and enjoyment when you have Wrigley Spearmint. You see, it's made to be light, and it's made to be refreshing. And just as cooling as the spearmint leaf itself is always the good flavor that you get from Wrigley Spearmint. So after your big luncheon meal or dinner meal tonight or today, or perhaps in between meals when you're feeling just a little bit faint and desire something to sort of soothe an appetite, why don't you try Wrigley Spearmint? It never spoils your appetite, and it's good for you. Keeps your teeth clean and attractive, always keeps your breath sweet. So you try Wrigley Spearmint. I know that you'll enjoy it. I once again want to say just a word about Joe Pasternak, because to me this is the story of our great nation. Story of a boy who came to this land not knowing our language, and yet surmounting all the problems and the hardships and the vicissitudes to become certainly one of the top names in show business today. Joe Pasternak, I think you're to be congratulated for a number of things, most of all for being a great American.
Thank you, Howard, very, very much.
Is my chronology about right? Was it back in Philadelphia, 1921, that you got off the boat?
Yes, 1921, March the 26th.
How did you happen to come to this country, the land of opportunity, I suppose?
Well, it's quite a story. My father, being a sexton of a temple, he was quite interested in Abraham Lincoln. So he used to read various phases of his life, his stories, Gettysburg Address, and I became fascinated. And it's quite unbelievable in America, the suppression and the oppression, rather, that you get in Hungary. The freedom is not known.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing this, I decided to come to America. I was 16 years old.
The story of freedom was most symbolized by the story of Abe Lincoln, our great president.
That's right.
Well, now, when you first climbed off the boat, I presume you disembarked in New York City and then went over to Philadelphia. Why did you happen to choose Philadelphia, Joe?
Well, the first shores that I saw was Boston. Then I got to Ellis Island in New York. Then I had an uncle living in Philadelphia. He picked me up and brought me to Philadelphia. And mentioning my uncle, I'd like to tell a little story, which I think would be very helpful to all immigrants or all people who are fortunate enough to be in America should learn them. When we got off the station, I heard him try to explain to the cab driver where to go.
Mm-hmm.
It took him maybe 30 seconds or a minute. And I found out after being 25 years in America, he couldn't speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
So I made up my mind from that moment on. Regardless, I will not speak anything but English. I bought myself a little dictionary, and I had a tough time for 6 months.
You must have had a lot of problems.
Yeah, I sure did. Just before the show, I told you, if you remember.
Yes.
I wanted to get some ice cream, and of course, our C is T. I used to say, Itze, Atze, Utze. Well, anyway, it paid off.
Itze cream,
that's right. It paid off later on.
I suppose you went through a couple of pounds of lard and cold cream before you ever got to the chocolate flavor, huh?
Well, I went through a lot of things.
Well, now, Joe, your first job was punching holes in leather belts for $11 a week. Now, this is a far cry from the theater. How do you go from holes in leather belts to Hollywood, California?
Well, it might be corny, but I always believe that God is the best casting director in the whole world.
So true.
And after being in Philadelphia for about 2 months, I asked my cousin, who was the foreman of this factory, I says, how long have you been here? And he told me he's been there about, maybe 8 or 10 years. And I said, how much money are you making? He says, I'm a big man. He says, I am the highest paid man here. I was making $35 a week. So I figured it will take me 8 years to become a foreman for $35 a week. That's not the right place for me. So I moved to New York, got myself a job as a busboy, and then I studied to be an actor, and I flopped as an actor. Then I became a busboy at Paramount Studios again. And there I met a wonderful man called Alan Dwan, who gave me my first opportunity to be his assistant director, second assistant, third assistant, fourth assistant. And I loved show business from the day I was born.
Yes, I remember your book, which is a wonderful book, and I want to commend it to our listeners again, as I did once before you on our show from your home in Hollywood, called Easy the Hard Way. This was the story of your life. Who was the publisher, by the way? I want to plug that book again.
Putnam.
Has it had a good sale? It must have, because they're going to make a movie out of your life now, aren't they?
That's right.
Well, now, in that book, you mentioned the fact that you're the fourth assistant director. This must mean little more than just the errand boy for the director, right?
Well, the fourth assistant director was known as the chairman.
Mm-hmm. You brought the chairs?
I used to push the chairs around.
I thought maybe it was something like that. That was a dead giveaway. And when was it before, or how long was it before, Joe, you advanced up the chairs to a point where somebody was bringing them to you?
Well, I don't believe in bringing anything to me. Because the greatest thing I've learned, I like to bring everything back to people. My first real opportunity came after the second time I came back to America. I was sent by Universal first in 1928 to Germany to make pictures for them there. Then I came back, and fortunately enough, in 1935, when I came back, I ran into a little girl called Diana Durbin.
Hmm.
And my first movie with Diana Durbin was Three Smart Girls.
You discovered and made Diana Durbin a star?
Well, discovered is a little...
No, don't be humble at of this, because this is true. You are solely responsible for not only Diana Durbin, but so many hundreds of more stars. Mario Lanza is your protege in his pictures.
Right.
You did most of his pictures. Well, now you're, in a sense, plugging a brand new production of yours for MGM, 10,000 Bedrooms. What about this show, Joe?
Well, 10,000 Bedrooms is the first solo picture of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis after the breakup.
Mm-hmm. This is just Dean alone.
Dean alone.
Yeah.
Of course, we provided him with a few beautiful girls.
Wonderful people.
And I don't know if they'd be a substitute for Jerry Lewis, but they look pretty good.
Well, I think they're pretty. I don't know if they're as funny. Who is in the picture with Dean?
Anna Marie Albaghetti, who has grown up to be just a charming, beautiful young lady, and a very sensational new star called Eva Bartok, and two Lisas, Lisa Gay and Lisa Montel.
You personally feel that this is one of your proudest achievements in the world of music and motion pictures, Joe?
Well, this last picture, 10,000 Bedrooms, no, I wouldn't lie about it. I think it's a most wonderful, delightful entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the last one is always the one that's your favorite.
Yes, of course.
But I think it's a very fine. The picture was photographed in Rome, one third of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives Dean Martin a great opportunity to play romantic leads.
And who can do it better?
Well,
I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going
tan.
To be... yeah, I got a little tan down on Florida. I'm going to look forward to it. Your representative here has told me that it's going to be released across the country sometime the latter part of this ensuing month of March. So you look for it in your local theaters all over the country. It's a Joe Pasternak production for MGM called 10,000 Bedrooms with Dean Martin. And here from the score, from the soundtrack, is Dean Martin singing a very beautiful ballad, Only Trust Your Heart.
Stars may deceive you, may vanish and leave you, be smart, only trust your heart. The breeze softly sighs. In truth, maybe lying, be smart, only trust your heart. The warmth of her kisses may teach you what bliss is. But this is a faithless lover's art. Only trust your heart, not the far light that comes from the starlight. Be smart. Only trust your heart.
The warmth of her kisses may teach you what bliss is.
But this is a faithless lover's art. Trust your heart, not the far light that comes from the starlight. Be smart, only trust your heart.
From the score of 10,000 Bedrooms, an MGM picture produced by Joe Pasternak, our guest today, that was Dean Martin with Only Trust Your Heart. Joe, again, thank you for being such a wonderful American. Thanks for your great contribution to the American scene of fine things to watch and entertain.
Thank you, Howard, and thank you for this opportunity being with you. And I'd like to mention the song was by Nicholas Brodsky and Sammy Kahn, if you
All
don't
right,
mind.
You may certainly do it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Joe. That was Joe Pasternak, who once before made an appearance on our Wrigley Show, and it was just so delightful. I said, Joe, when you come to Chicago, let's do it again. And he did, and I want to thank him. This is Howard Miller for Wrigley Spearmint. We'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Until then, thanks, and here's Joe Foss.
Be sure and join Howard Miller tomorrow at this same time when his guest will be Don Rondo on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM-FM, Chicago.
For non-greasy food,